Hold on. Hey, while we going through it, I'm going to just let it roll. My boy D-Trip is over there getting busy on them ones and twos on them pioneers. I know you can hear it in the background. We're doing something different today. We're doing something real different today. I hope y'all wired up for this. This is going to be live. This is something new. Hey, I'm going to let him do his thing. I know you can hear it in the background. Even if it sounds faint, it's in the background. You can hear it in the back, right? Actually, my dude is originally from New Jersey. Moved to Tennessee. We met in Iowa. Now we in Houston. And he running through the Houston set list like he was born in a tray. But he in Atascocita. He an Atascocita thug. So, yeah. Let that run through. Hey, let them run through. Yeah, so that means he gonna be mixing it up all night while we over here talking it up a bit. You dig? Yeah, you hear that? Yeah. We ain't even got into the mix yet. We ain't even started this podcast yet. We're going to let that marinate a bit. Just let it marinate a minute. Hey, you got a little too fast, D. You got to slow that down. You got to slow that down just a hair, baby. Yeah. All right. This is something new. We're doing something new today. Ride with me. Say Texas. Yeah, Lexus. All right. Yeah. Oh, man, this is going to be crazy. Kiki and the Hawk, man. Hey, yeah. Ain't no. This is Lil Kiki. Oh, hold up. He going to put y'all up on something real quick, right? So, my man has just sat down. When you see something live, it's whoa. When you hear something live, it's whoa. Anything you do that's ill, it's whoa.
My man.
Yeah. Do I need to turn you up, my brother?
Yes, indeed.
There we go. How you sound?
Check me again.
Check you again. That mic 1-2.
Let me get one more.
One more?
There we go.
There you go.
I think that's
got them decibels popping right there.
Give me a half or more.
Half or more? What about right there?
Okay, we good now.
Gucci?
We Gucci? Like we in the club right now.
Yeah, it sounds like we got that shit popping. Hey, we got some bottles. I know you already had steak today.
Oh, we got bottles downstairs.
Oh, okay. I guess we just go build right here then, right?
Yes, but no, we're not doing steak bottles.
Nah, I told him. We're doing something new.
Something brand new. Let's get it.
See, D been pronouncing it wrong the whole week. I ain't said nothing to him yet because okay. I hit him with it once and then he changed it.
Hit me up one
so
more
what
time.
This is right now, this is the weekly rip with Cuts and D Trip.
There it is.
The weekly rip with Cuts and D Trip.
Did I miss that? How did I mess that up?
You called it the daily rip.
Damn, that's
see,
every day.
See,
because
that's every day.
Okay.
But so, I know we're not going to be talking joint every day.
True. The weekly
so
rip.
This is the weekly rip because usually the end of the week, the wrap down, so much shit has popped off.
True.
That we could chew through it like, whoa.
Like, whoa.
Yeah, literally. Definitely. All right. Now, dig this. So, if we got some new joints that's popping off, we got to have a new intro then, right?
Exactly. So let me kill this.
All right, kill that. We killed that. So we're going to bring it in like this. Cuts original. Yeah. D said he wanted something to build up.
Exactly.
So I said, we're going to build it up then. Okay. I got you.
Hit me just a half a.
Got you. How you like that? Is that working? Huh.
Now you got to do the intro though.
Hey, okay. Now you run it first.
You
run it first.
Intro or you want me to throw one?
You run the intro right. And then I'm going to backdoor.
Hey.
Pause.
Welcome.
That got me all last week on that right there. You ain't give me today, bro. I got you though. Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, welcome to the daily. Hey, damn.
See, I told you he was killing it all week.
I messed it all up and you threw me off right there.
It's all good. Let's all right, get
so
it.
Let's get it again. Hey, welcome to the weekly rip
with Cuts
and D-Trip.
That's how we get it in. We gonna come up with the tagline in a minute, but we wanted to introduce this and break this down because this is something new. Like I said, you got Cuts University, you got Steak, Bottles, and Building. Right now, we have joined forces like super friends. So it's unconditional. Let's get it straight to the meat of the subject. We talking about some shit today.
Like Voltron.
Voltron. We done linked up. It's there a wrap it now.
Oh, man. This is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I like that intro music. That shit is dope. Yeah, I should let that ride out. I'm going to let that play and ride out in the background.
Dope. Oh, yeah, that's dope.
D said he wanted something like Air Force Ones, and then you said you wanted something like, what's the joint? What's the New York joint?
Which one did I say?
I don't.
No. It was and yo, the sun don't shine forever, ever. But as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Whether now or never, yeah. Business before pleasure. Yo, that joint, the way that comes in.
But that was so East Coast.
Yeah, but you know,
that was so East Coast. We down in the bottom, baby.
Yeah, I know.
We in the bottom.
But you say, you always say you never forget where you come from, right?
True.
So it's a piece of me. It's like, you know, like me, I'm like a big pot of gumbo now.
That's exactly what you are now.
And you hear what I call my barbecue, right?
What's your barbecue?
It's called New Tenor, Texas.
New Tenor, Texas.
New Tenor, Texas barbecue.
New Tenor, Texas barbecue.
Yes.
With a splash of Jersey or?
No, that's the new part. New part is New Jersey.
Okay.
Tennessee, of course, is tenor.
Okay.
And Texas is Texas. Texas. So what I've done is I've taken some stuff that I learned from Jersey and barbecue.
Okay.
Taking some stuff that I learned in Tennessee with barbecue.
Okay.
Taking some stuff that I've learned here in Texas now with barbecue.
Wait a minute. So you didn't learn shit in Iowa?
Not a damn thing.
Okay. I believe it.
Not nothing.
No seasoning?
Absolutely not.
Not even a casserole?
The one thing that I did learn about in Iowa was there was two things. I think it was Pancheros burritos.
Oh, in Iowa City.
In Iowa City.
Yeah, them things were huge.
Those things were huge. Yeah. Huge. And there was something else that they had up there that was really, really good. So you had Pancheros and the buffalo wing spot. I remember the first time I went, I wasn't even old enough to go.
No, it wasn't buffalo wings, though.
Divine.
It was divine, but it wasn't buffalo wings. It was...
But they served them super hot.
Exactly. Exactly. Hold on. We got it right here. Good? You good?
Just one more down.
All right.
There we go.
All right, bet. You keep talking. I'm going to keep adjusting these levels.
Yeah,
we're
just trying to see
good.
Exactly. You know, we set everything up, so you just want to make sure that everything sounds magnificent.
I think you were on... Nah, you weren't on my level. I thought I was on your level, but nah, you good.
Okay,
we good. We Gucci in here.
Yeah, we good.
You right. It was divine.
Divine.
In Iowa City.
Yes, and they had the hottest hot wings
on the planet.
They said
at the time,
if you get the super hot ones,
you get to eat them for free.
But nah, they did not, because they didn't give me them for free. Because back in those days, I could eat anything at any time, and I ate those, and I didn't have any problems. Now, if I ate them today.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You yeah. Yeah.
That's horrible, you know what's crazy about that?
That'd be a horrible experience.
The crew that I was in at the time, I think this is right before you got there, right? We used to take the freshmen or the transfers up to Iowa City to the Vine, and it was mandatory that you ate the hottest hot wings, period, on the menu. Two baskets.
I think I got dared.
No, this wasn't a dare. This was a must. If you was riding on this bus, you in that car, you eating them hot wings or you not getting back.
You know what's sad about it? I don't even know who the first person I went to the Vine with. But I fell in love with the spot, though.
Oh, it was a lovely spot. Lovely spot. Yeah. We're going to keep music running through this whole thing because it's something new. We're going to keep something in the background. Let it build up.
Let it marinate.
Marinate. So,
see, that's part of cooking, right?
Yeah, there. Yeah. That's
you
part
let
of that.
It marinate.
This is the weekly rip.
Sometimes
so,
you got to inject it.
Sometimes you do have to inject it.
There you go, and let it
marinate. You have to sprinkle that magic dust on it.
Some magic dust on it.
Yeah.
And make it tasty.
Exactly. Yeah, I know if you jamming this beat, you jamming it and you rocking to it because it's just jamming. But dig these words. These blues go like this. This is the weekly rip. It's so much that we can talk about, from politics to culture.
Indeed.
To...
relationships.
We definitely go get in deep with that.
Marriages. Being fathers.
Hey, listen.
Being neighbors.
Being in Texas and being black.
Oh, shit.
Hey, listen. Hey, this is crazy. I hit you up this week because as former HBCU alumni, I saw something on YouTube the other week. If y'all didn't know, my man D-Trip, we met in Iowa,
Yes, Mount Pleasant.
Mount Pleasant. If you've never been to the Midwest and been in Iowa, Mount Pleasant is the epitome of Leave It to Beaver land.
Mixed
that's,
with...
That's what I called it.
But you know what else it was mixed with, though?
Urban?
You had, no, hell no. It was... It wasn't...
It none, was us.
It wasn't, we was it wasn't the, nothing urban about
But
Iowa.
Us.
Yeah, but
we,
us. But what I'm
we
saying...
We were the urban element.
The funny part about it was when you went to... when you went to the downtown of Mount Pleasant.
Wait, that was downtown?
Yeah.
The uptown?
No, but downtown. Because okay. I remember that time they let us all, they sent the football team to the movies and we all
yeah,
went.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think we went to watch Forrest Gump or something like that. That's yeah, how
it probably
how
was.
It was.
Yeah, yeah, that was a minute.
Excellent movie. But when you went out there in downtown Mount Pleasant, it looked like Back to the Future, except they didn't
it
have
did.
A clock.
It looked like we went back to 1985, but it wasn't 1985. It was 1965 Mayberry.
But they didn't have a clock.
They had a tower, though, in the square.
Any movie that you wanted to put in, you could have filmed right there
and in Mount Pleasant.
It looked like the Andy Griffith Show.
Welcome to Mayberry. Leave It to Beaver. It looked like, what is that show? Back to the Future. Mel's Diner. Any white show that was on television back in the day, that's what it looked like.
Yeah. But now it didn't really look like Mel's Diner because they didn't really have... The only place that you could eat like something like that would be the truck stop.
Yeah, and that was outside of town.
Correct. That was the other side of town. So,
hey, listen. We will come back to Wesleyan because that's a traditional white institution.
TWI.
But right now, what I want to bring up first is the HBCU, particularly... Alabama State.
Okay.
AS. Alabama State.
Let me go ahead and say it for those that went to Alabama State. ASU.
Okay.
Or, you know, if you want to get real ghetto with it, you'd be like, ASU, motherfucking you.
Okay. For all you Alabama State alumni, there you go.
There it is.
Okay. See, now, I went to Prairie View A&M on the hill.
And what did they say there?
They said, get your ass out of here, mister. Why are you doing too much?
But they also say PV.
Exactly.
Okay, you gotta shout out to them, okay. Man. You know, shout out to
all the PV alumni, right. All the PV students that are there now.
Correct.
All of the crazy graduates, the fraternities and sororities that I didn't pledge or become privy to. Yeah.
My sister-in-law is a Zeta alumni from PV.
Really?
One of my homeboys is a Q alumni from PV.
What?
Yeah, and my homegirl that went to ASU works now at PV.
Get out of here.
Shout out to T-Mo. What up, T-Mo?
Get out of here. Okay, now check this out. I'm watching YouTube, and Alabama State marching band comes up, right?
Uh-huh.
And the dance line for ASU.
Yes.
The Stingettes.
The Stingettes. Now, before you go into there,
okay.
We also have another group called the Honeybees.
Okay, what is the Honeybees?
Honeybees are a bunch of big women.
Is that the ones behind the Stingettes?
They're the BBWs.
The BBWs.
And they be killing it.
A lot of love for the BBWs.
So I just want to let sure, you know, because there's the Stingettes.
Okay.
And then there is the Honeybees.
Okay, I've seen them.
So you've seen the Stingettes,
yes.
Or you saw the Honeybees. Which one?
I saw both because they back up the Stingettes. They have the flags, right?
No.
They're not the flags?
No, those are just flag girls. The Honeybees are basically Stingettes, except they just have a little bit more stinging.
Okay, a little more pushing over there.
There you go.
Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. You gotta love the BBWs, man.
They're our full-figured sisters.
Indeed. Well, check this out.
Go ahead.
This is what was amazing to me. I started watching this marching band, right?
Okay.
And then... Something about the Stingettes just pulled me in. So what I did, I watched two sets that they perform.
Okay.
And they have a lead dancer that's out of this world. This is 2019. Out of this world. Beautiful young lady. She's out of this world. She was leading the choreography, right? So what I did was when that ended, it automatically jumped to another band, which was Jackson State. And with Jackson State, their marching band came in, and then their what do you call it? Majorettes?
Yes.
Majorettes. Well,
I forgot what their their name is.
I don't remember what the name
is. I think they're the TSU
the
is the
Dancing
Ocean of,
Dolls. I think that's who they are. The
okay,
Dancing
TSU
Dolls.
TSU is the
Ocean of Soul.
That's Texas Southern.
Right.
Because you know you can't say TSU.
Tennessee is TSU also.
Because TSU, if you say TSU in anywhere in near Nashville, it's Tennessee. Automatically Tennessee State.
Okay. Okay.
And if you say it anywhere near Houston, it's Texas Southern.
Right.
But if you say it to either one of them, then they both say that we the real TSU. Yeah,
they copied us.
Exactly.
So dig this. So what happened was, every video that I went to after the Stingettes, they showed the majorettes, and here I am. I'm comparing everyone to ASU's majorettes right now.
Are you prepared for an untimely event that may put your family at risk? Is your family financially protected if you are no longer with them? If something was to happen to you, would your assets go into probate? These and many other risk factors can financially devastate a family upon the death of a loved one. Don't be one of the many Americans that don't have affordable life insurance, asset protection, or retirement options. Contact Next Right Financial Services, and we'll advise a plan that's best for you and your family, securing your family's legacy. We work directly with many life insurance, annuity, and trust companies, and will broker the absolute best price and policy for you. Contact us today at NWFSFL.com or call 850-716-5497. That's 850-716-5497. Next Right Financial Services, helping secure your future. We look forward to speaking with you.
Okay. So, first Jackson State, then Alcorn, then PV, then TSU, then Tennessee State, then Florida
A&M.
FAMU.
As they would say, hold on, let me go ahead and represent for them.
Okay.
FAMU, God damn you. That's what they, you know.
Where do you get all these chants from? You just visited all these different black colleges?
Nah, see, when you were DJ. And you DJ one of their events.
Okay.
Then you have to say, like, I even have theme music. I have PB's band songs. I got Alabama State's marching song. I got, you know, I got this. You know, you got to represent.
Deep. Oh, okay. I got you. So now I'm running through at least 15 HBCUs. And then it comes back up with the ASU Stingettes. And what happened was, I said, wait a minute. They have the dopest majorettes in the SWAC. And not in the SWAC, but the HBCU universe. Mm-hmm. The uniforms, the choreography, the actual full layout of the dances, no one compares to ASU. And trust me, I think I'm an authority now on majorettes.
Now, if I said that, then what would happen is that people would automatically think that I was being biased.
Well, I'm from PV. So
I know you're
from Alabama State, but check this out. I had to call, I thought about calling you but this was like 2 or 3 in the morning. And I said, I can't call D with this at 2 or 3 in the morning. His wife is going to say, what the hell is Cuts calling you for at 3 in the morning?
Hell, I was
talking about
anyway.
Some damn majorettes. But yeah, I dig. You know, sharks don't sleep, so I'm always up.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, damn, man, how many videos have I gone through? I watched the entire season, of ASU's majorettes.
Okay.
And I'm saying to myself, these girls are dope. There's no one in this universe that compares to these young ladies at this moment.
Right.
2020 has come and gone, and they didn't get to do all of the things that they did like in 2019.
Right.
So what I wanted to do was give a shout out to the 2019 ASU Stingettes. Because these young, I was about to say girls, but these young ladies are incredible. I mean, absolutely incredible.
Okay.
And got me excited.
Oh, yeah, I'm proud to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, like, because a lot of people don't give I don't think they give Alabama State the love that they should. You know, you hear a lot about, you hear a lot about Jackson State. You hear a lot about Southern.
Yeah.
You hear a lot about Grambling.
Yeah.
You hear about a lot about the Marching 100, you know, which is fam.
They wiped the floor with all these.
And they cover the whole field.
Hey, listen.
So you don't really hear a lot about
Alabama State. Literally owns that market.
Got you.
I am not joking. Whoever that person is that's in charge of those young ladies over there, they're winning.
Do me a favor.
They're on level 10.
I actually went live right now.
Okay.
So tell everybody what they're listening to right now.
Okay. If you didn't know, now you know. What you're tuned into is the Weekly Rip with Cuts and Trip. This is what we do when we wrap up and summarize the entire week in all its glory. Good or bad, we're here to bring it to you. Is that cool enough? So, am I supposed to keep talking?
Oh, no. You good.
Okay, that works.
One thing that we've done is, I don't know if you guys can see this or not, we're in the home.
The wife done put us in the guest room.
We're in the guest room.
The wife, hey, anywhere and, I show up, though, is a live podcast. Just know that.
So we got DJ stuff in the background, and then, you know, here we go.
And you got real people stuff in the background, too.
Exactly.
So what's happening right now is crazy. Let me
explain.
Okay.
So right now, we have two podcasts that we're actually going to do as one. And what that means is this, is that Steak Bottles and Building will still go on as well.
Right.
And so will Cuts University.
That's right.
However, when we get together, one thing that we call it is the Weekly Rip, which is with
Cuts and Trip.
And Trip. So there it is.
Real talk.
So one thing that we'll start doing is we're going to start adding people, adding comments and also, you know, kind of start answering questions as
next.
So then therefore once they hear it, they'll be able to hear this again and see it again.
Exactly. And the next time they'll be able to call in.
And then you can
we'll have a number for you to call in.
Some of the things that we have.
And actually what happens and what works best is when they call in and they give us topics to talk about.
Exactly. Something
okay, now check this out. This goes back to Jada's Red Table Talk.
Yeah, except it's
the entanglement.
This isn't the red table talk.
This is the dominoes. This is the card table talk.
This is the card table talk.
This is the spade table talk.
That's what it is.
Let me summarize this by saying I got to give a big shout out to all the HBCUs out there.
Yes, indeed.
It's phenomenal. And if you had the privilege and the honor to go to a historically black college or university, you've done yourself a huge favor. Trust me. Listen, I went to PV. I got kicked out of PV. I found myself at a TWI. That's how I met Trip. But the beautiful
for those
blessing
of you all that
in
don't
that,
know what a TWI is, it's a traditionally white institution.
Or university.
But
you can't call it a TWCU.
Nah,
that just don't sound right.
Nah.
So that's ours. Right, we no co-opting that. That's ours.
Yes.
So, all right. Trip is still going live. He should have just set it up on the stand so that and the wide angle
I would have used my iPad, but my son is using the iPad right
okay,
now.
Okay. Okay.
So what I've done is, and not just that, I can't see, you know, like for some reason, if we turn it around, the camera around, I can't see it as well just to see, you know, who's there. Cause I see there's a few people. Let me see. Somebody said you need a wide lens camera.
Listen, I told him you can't just be doing it like that. You have to, hey, come on, man.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Hey, listen, you know what? I got to play your theme song because you already hit the button already. I got to play your theme song, all right?
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
If you can't hear this right now, what you're hearing is the theme song to Ain't Nobody Got Time for That.
And I'm going to tell you.
Hold up.
The funny part about it is this, though.
Hold up.
I'm actually the cameraman. As well as a host.
Bruh.
So you got two hosts, one cameraman, and we got two DJs with one set of equipment that's sitting over there.
Just sitting over there like, okay, nobody's DJing, so where's the DJ?
Right.
Next time we come in here, we need to bring DJ
to
let him DJ.
Okay.
Even Khalees could kill it.
So somebody was saying that I need to go. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't planning on just going live, even though I appreciate you guys for tuning in. What I was doing was I was really just playing just to see if anybody would join while we're doing our podcast. Just in case you haven't listened before, some of you guys have already listened to the Steak Bottles and Building podcast, and some of you have already listened to Cuts University podcast.
Right, and there's a lot of you out there listening to that podcast, Cuts University. They're killing it, man. So, I'm not joking, because right now we're over 5,000 listens.
Wow.
For the week? Yeah, and that's huge.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Huge.
Definitely.
So if you haven't already tuned in, if you're not a fan, please log in, because Trip is always a part of Cuts University, and I'm always thinking I'm invited to the Steak Bottles and Building. So
he's definitely invited. So one thing that we're going to do is make sure that we keep this going. And next time, I promise, next time, I'll have this set up to where we'll have it perfectly set up. And
we'll have better lighting. because this lighting is terrible.
Yeah.
This is mood lighting.
This is mood lighting. This is not production lighting. Okay? This is not my production camera, but this is... I just wanted you guys to see the background of whenever you got to get a chance to listen and you hear it. I know some of you guys have already listened to the Steak, Bottles, and Building podcast. You also listened to the Kutch University podcast. And now you have the Weekly Rip with
Kutch and Trip.
And Trip. So now that's what our podcast together is going to be called. And we'll be moving forward.
Yeah, it's dope. But I see you got a lot of people
now. And they said mood lighting.
Hey, we got to pause. I hope that wasn't a dude that said that, because you're going to have to pause. Yeah. Hey, listen, they've been trying to catch me up all week by certain things that they've been saying, Trip and friends. And I'm saying to myself, hey, listen, man, I got to think about everything that you say to me and be careful at how I respond to it, because I don't want any backlash from any community about crazy references.
If you say something that's suspect, you will get called out on it.
You can't backdoor nobody like that, right?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you know what's crazy? I saw a video on
and that's what he just said. You got to pause with the mood lighting. Exactly what we were saying.
You're now tuned in to the Weekly Rip with Kutch and Trip.
Yeah, that just don't sound two dudes in there talking like that with no women. Nah, that just
they're talking about mood music.
There's nothing sexy about that though.
It depends on who you're talking to.
Nah, not with two dudes and no shit.
No,
there's nothing
sexy about that with two guys.
Nah.
Pause.
Yeah, okay. At all. Now hold up. Let me give a disclaimer.
Okay.
If you are into that, to where you have sexy music with another dude
with your guy,
or a sexy conversation with it, and you're a guy, and you, hey, that, man, you,
I, I'll,
live your life,
do
live
your thing.
Life. I don't have that. If that's
everybody's
what you do,
got that thing,
yeah, everybody has it. I'm not here to judge anyone,
right?
So,
but we're here to talk about it.
Yes, if that's something
we're definitely going to talk about it. Yep. So, yeah,
but somebody did mention HBCU funding.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, speaking of funding, our current administration and our current leader of the free world said that he was giving HBCUs $4 billion, right?
Yes.
$4 billion.
That's what,
with a B.
Mm-hmm.
And he stood on it, and everybody jumped on my Facebook timeline that didn't look like me, who was a friend of mine, and said, look at what he's doing for your people. He's giving $4 billion to all of the universities. And I said, I believe that shit when I see it and they have the money in the bank.
Right.
I don't believe it. I don't think it's going to happen. And I think what he's doing is he's a salesman. He's currying favor. He's trying to get enough people on his side to say, if he does it, we might rock with him. Mm-hmm. But I see through you, bruh. It's like the Wizard of Oz. When you pull back that curtain and you see who the wizard really is, mm-hmm. you just have to shake your head and say, what the fuck, man?
Right.
Y'all elected this guy? Because I didn't. And this election is more important because we already know what he's done the last 4 years, right?
Correct.
So I'm trying to understand how people that look like us decide that they don't want to vote. And they opt out.
You said, and not vote. I want to see if someone on here.
Tell me, is there someone out there right now that didn't register to vote? Because if you did,
or doesn't plan,
you need to log off right now.
Or doesn't plan on it.
Doesn't plan on it.
Now,
well, it's too late to register.
Yeah, it's too late.
You couldn't even do now.
No, it's a wrap. If you're not participating in the game, or you know, like they
you can't
you
even talk about the game.
Get in the game, then you're not doing anything.
So,
but somebody did bring up a point.
Okay,
somebody said HBCUs need more funding.
The
alumni at those schools don't get back.
They don't. You know what's funny? I saw that our university, Wesleyan, TWI, was in trouble financially last year. They needed to raise $5 million. So they hit up all of the alumni. And you know how much money they raised?
How much?
$14 million.
And where was this at?
At Iowa Wesleyan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They raised $14 million.
Wow.
So I said, wait a minute. We're, okay, PV didn't have endowments, I don't believe. They were all state funded.
I'm sure there's something.
Listen, like you said, I have never seen that much, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't see the cohesiveness of the alumni at HBCUs like there should be.
Right.
Maybe with Deion Sanders becoming the head coach at Jackson State, you might start to see the alumni come and start becoming more involved and giving funding back.
So are you saying this, that more alumni at HBCUs give during homecomings
and
classics?
No, I don't. What? Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Because by frequenting.
Homecoming.
Yes.
And also 10 different classics across the...
But you know, just to give back.
Travel to see their school play.
My brother went to Pittsburgh State University in Kansas, right? I saw this Division II school. The way it's built, the way the alumni came back and gave $80 million to the school, it blew my mind. You see this Division II school, it looks like the University of Miami. But here you are, I'm just starting to see work on PV from last year and the year before. Finish, complete. So I'm thinking like, okay, Texas Southern, Prairie View, Shaw State. I think Shaw State is on the verge of closing, right?
Talking about Shaw University?
Shaw University. Okay, Shaw University.
That's North Carolina.
Is it?
Yeah.
Bennett College. What's the school in Tennessee? Fisk?
Yeah, Fisk. Fisk University.
I don't understand how, as graduates and alumni, we don't give back like that at all. And that's a good question. Like, so what do you do?
Why do you think that graduates or alumni of black colleges don't give back? You know what? I think part of it is this too. I know this may sound crazy. Some of y'all may try to kill me for this, but you know, like one thing about HBCUs, I can say that my experience at my TWI was completely different than it was at my HBCU.
Night and day.
And
literally,
night, day.
Yeah.
So, yes. Like one thing about my HBCU experience, and I, you know, loved Alabama State. I'm trying to see if some friends on here. I see somebody from A&M is on here.
A&M where?
Alabama A&M.
Okay, does Alabama A&M count? I'm just asking. I don't know, because in the state of Alabama, I'm pretty sure everybody runs to Alabama State. But I did see a battle between the majorettes from Alabama State and Alabama A&M.
That was probably at the Magic City Classic.
And it was no competition. Alabama State, hands down.
I know my man Charles gonna have.
Hey, listen, I'm not joking.
My man Charles is gonna have something to say about that.
Hey, listen, it was just hands down Alabama State. Real talk. So, what do you say? Did you say anything crazy?
No, my man Walter just said he's the one that posed that question. And thank you, Walter, for tuning in and also giving your response. He said, "I coach men's basketball at NCAA 2 Midwestern State."
Okay.
And we pay Grambling a guarantee to play USI. Pitiful.
USI.
Or, no, I'm sorry. Us. Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
So he said they had to pay Grambling to pay them, play them.
I think, all schools are set up like that.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I mean.
Because if you know, like most of the SEC schools, if you play one of the other, you know, like whenever they play like Division II.
Yeah. Oh, school. They pay them a lot of money to kick their ass.
Man. It's like Florida State.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, Florida State is playing
FAMU.
It's FAMU.
Hey, listen.
And then the score would be like 75 to 16.
Florida State cut a check to FAMU for $450,000 just to kick that ass.
If not more. And then half the team get hurt.
Yeah, exactly. For the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But you know, the crazy thing about that is that I learned this only at the TWI.
Uh-huh.
When these larger schools pay you to come and compete against them, they're not expecting you to come in and pull a Rocky. Meaning Correct. That they're coming in like Apollo Creed.
Mm-hmm.
They're the champ. They're coming in to beat your brains in. So you're a tune-up game.
Yes.
So they're coming in to get their second team and third team reps so that they could get some type of cohesiveness
going on. Hey, the first quarter.
The first team is out.
The first team is out there doing their thing. And then after that, back in those days, Peter Warwick was eating hot dogs. He was probably in the stands.
Exactly. Warwick done. They gone.
Hot dogs now. Right.
Peter Warwick. Ah, dang, you went back, boy. Hey, man, Charlie Ward days. Hold up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, check this out. I remember, though, the school, North Dakota State, which was a Division II program, the Bisons.
No, that's where Carson Wentz went.
Yes.
Yes.
These guys had been under the radar so long, they were winning national championship after national championship.
Yep.
And you had to give them respect. You started paying attention to what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
They had all of these Division I players, but they were considered a Division II school.
Correct.
So when they started beating the Division I schools, no Division I school wanted to put them on their schedule.
No.
And I said, oh, that's a lot of respect. Alabama wouldn't schedule North Dakota State.
Wow.
And I said, can you imagine if you're a powerhouse and Alabama State is scheduled to play Alabama?
But see,
and they give Alabama not just a game, but pulls off a crazy onside kick, gets the ball, and kicks a field goal and wins.
Don't you remember that? Don't you remember that happened a few years ago?
With who?
Michigan lost to Appalachian State.
Yes. Hey, but the quarterback, phenomenal.
Oh yeah, I mean
the team that Appalachian State had was phenomenal.
Yeah, they did. But they did it.
Now you're gonna start seeing this with Jackson State. So.
Oh,
Deion has brought the celebrity.
So my man brought up something.
Okay.
He said that North Dakota is a D2. They are not. He said it's not a D2. They are 1AA.
Now.
In football only.
Yes. Yes. They're what they consider what time, FCS?
I think they're FBS.
I think they're FC. No, they're not. Yeah, they're FCS.
They're FCS.
So 1AA is not 1AA anymore. It's just a sub the sub-conference. So what used to, like Prairie View, they were Division I, but they were 1AA.
Yeah.
So.
Apples, oranges.
Yeah. So PV is not going to play Texas A&M.
They could.
They shouldn't.
Well, you know why they're playing them. They're playing for the check.
The check.
Because the check is there. And, I mean, you can't, excuse me. You're a struggling school. I know, right? I got choked up on that one.
But if you're so sensitive to the HBCUs.
If you're a struggling HBCU,
okay,
and you get the opportunity to get a $500,000 check,
you getting that check at the cost of your players?
At the cost of your players.
Hey, listen.
Because let's just be honest. I hate to say this.
Okay.
I hate to say this, but y'all can tell me if I'm wrong or not. But most HBCUs, like if you go to I'm going to use Tennessee State for an example.
Okay.
Tennessee State, their stands, they play where they used to play in their home stadium. It used to be called the Hole.
Okay.
Back in the day. When the Titans came, they started playing where the Titans play now. So they play, it was Adelphia Coliseum back in the day, but now it's
it's not.
It's not. I don't know I don't live there anymore, so I forgot what it's called now.
Okay.
So they play there, but what happens is this. If you go to the game, like in the first quarter, that lower bowl is empty for part of two reasons, because Tennessee State is their HBCU, but they're not in an HBCU conference.
Okay. So like the MEAC,
or anything like that. They're in the OVC. So they're like the only school. So the only time that people really want to see a Tennessee State game is if they're playing in a classic.
You know what's sad? When I was at PV, people didn't come to see the game. People came to see the halftime show.
So that's what I was. That was my point. So what I was going to say is this: like when you go to an HBCU, now it's to a game, it's an experience,
right?
So the experience is when you first get there, you tailgating, you're chilling, you seeing. But half the time, around the little walk around,
yes,
around outside the stadium, you doing laps because all the scenery is in there. So you're on a swivel because
exactly.
So much scenery walking around.
Okay, you're now. Delving into the part of the conversation that I really want to delve into.
Okay.
The scenery, the experience at a HBCU.
But let me get to that point. Let me close this.
Now this is Derek's fault right now. I'm wanting to pivot the conversation to talk about the buffets at the HBCUs. And when I say buffets, I'm not talking about lunch. I'm talking about lunch.
It's some edibles, but I wasn't talking about that right now.
I'm running.
The question was, why is it that so many people when we go to HBCUs, and the difference between the games are when if you go to see a Texas A&M or a University of Texas or something like that, they go, they show up and they show their, they come and they tailgate and they have fun at the beginning of the games. However, they're there. From before the kickoff
right
till after the kickoff, they're there. Now at HBCU, we show up, we tailgate, we'll show up, and if we walk inside, if we go in the stadium, we walk around looking at the scenery, then everybody converges on the field. I mean, converges to their seats or their areas during halftime.
True.
You see the halftime show, everybody gets in, gets busy during that time. after the halftime show, all of a sudden, you just start seeing the crowd just dwindles out. Now, the bands are still battling, and at the end of the game, you'll see the bands up there battling, and it'd be some parents in there. But everybody else is at either at the club, getting ready for the club, or they outside in the tailgate kicking it. Am I lying or am I not? Because if I'm lying, then somebody please tell me.
Hey, listen. When you went to a game at PV, especially at home, the Baby Dome, it was always going to be a party, whether we won or lost. And 9 times out of 10 during that era, we lost a lot and by a lot. But that was always going to be a damn party. But that experience prepared me to appreciate college again once I got kicked out. And then I ended up at a TWI.
Correct.
So I learned a lot of things during that period. It was very challenging for me. Your boy was out there bad, man.
Yeah.
I was feeling like Chris Rock. I won't let me go. Keep calling me.
It was the scenery.
Yes.
It was the scenery and all of the
people. I went from
the peaches,
a gumbo, crab leg filled, barbecue based roux buffet to straight casseroles. Literally.
With raisins in it.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, listen. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a real quick story. I had a coach. He didn't really care about us, but because we was from Texas. But his wife had cooked Thanksgiving dinner. This is at the TWI. So he knew that there were a lot of players on campus that needed, you know, some type of Thanksgiving to be a part of. So he invited like 10 of us over to his house. Dude, I've never eaten turkey that was so dry. I didn't know that you really had gravy to pour over turkey because it was dry. I never experienced that because we didn't even have fried turkeys when I was growing up, but my mom's turkeys was just succulent. Mm. They were delicious. So here I am thinking about even Thanksgiving at Prairie View compared to Thanksgiving at Wesleyan. And I'm like,
you got to say in Iowa.
Iowa. Iowa. Okay, let's get that straight. Iowa. Listen. His wife cooked what I thought was a sweet potato pie. My color.
Please tell me it wasn't.
My color scheme was off.
It was pumpkin pie.
Bruh. I said, if the turkey is bad, I'm not eating shit. I'm not eating that 13 bean casserole. I'm not eating them dry as mashed potatoes. But that sweet potato pie, I'm finna wreck that shit. I go and get the biggest slice that I could. I didn't even wait to walk off with it on the saucer to start eating it. I just grabbed the piece of it and shoved it dead in my mouth. And the next thing I know, I'm about to throw up. Because this ain't no goddamn sweet potato pie. This is pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie does not belong in the mouth of black people.
Oh, hell no.
D?
I need that.
That's what we're looking for? Let me find that for you and cue it up. Hey, how about we do... Yeah, how about we do that one? And then how about we hit them with I don't want nobody. I gotta just do it.
Now you guys can't hear the sound effects right now. However, you will get a chance to hear them on the live podcast. Fucking with me in
these streets. And she did it with that pumpkin pie. I don't want nobody. She did it to me. Come on, man. Ain't nobody got hey, she got me, D. She got me. Ain't nobody have time for that.
She can't nobody hear that, though.
Nobody can hear this, but y'all got to tune into the podcast to hear what's happening right here. So make sure you double back and come check out the podcast. Real talk. Dog, she hit me with the pumpkin pie.
Oh, goodness.
And I froze, and it was all in my mouth, and I'm saying to myself, I can't spit this shit out because the coach is looking me in my face and he's going, it's good, huh? And I'm like, oh, God. And I'm saying to myself, oh, coach, where's the restroom? He said, oh, you got to go to the restroom? Oh, it's right around the corner. I'm like, oh, man, I went in there. I had to purge.
Oh, goodness.
I had to purge.
I got a question for those that are here live right now.
Okay.
Just hit me with a yay, nay, an up, down, a thumb up, thumbs up. How many of you guys have ever had pumpkin pie? Number one. And then after, if you've ever had it, how many of you actually liked it? Just hit me with a hey or you didn't like it or you don't.
How do you, I don't understand. How do you like pumpkin pie? It's like candy corn.
I don't think I've ever had it.
You ever had candy corn?
Oh yeah, I've had that.
Okay, when I was little, candy corn used to be sweet as hell. But the older I got, I realized this shit tastes like candle wax. It's candle wax.
Or soap chips.
And Halloween is tomorrow.
Hey, or soap chips.
I've never eaten soap. D, what the hell you doing eating soap chips, man?
I got in trouble when I was little.
Come on, dog.
I had to eat.
Wait a minute, like on The Christmas Story?
I had to eat soap chips before. Because
get the fuck out of here!
Because I said something like that outside. My grandmother heard me.
What?
So I had the soap in the mouth, and that was the worst. She cleaned my mouth out literally, and
literally.
That was the worst thing I've ever done.
Soap chips.
Really, nigga?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, soap chips. Well, it wasn't a soap chip, it was a bar. But I can only imagine.
Wait, I got a question for the audience. Have you ever gone on over to your friend's house or your homegirl's house and
the food just ain't
and
no
the
good.
The food is just terrible.
I mean the macaroni salad.
Oh,
and the chicken tastes like wood.
Who made the macaroni? Why, nigga? Why?
Or who made the
potato salad?
Hey,
I didn't even know you could mess up potato salad.
Hey, fruit salad. Do me a favor. Listen, and your friends a favor too. Don't ever take fruit salad over to Thanksgiving dinner.
No, no, no. Don't ever take a god. Hey, do not ever in your life take a fruit cake to your supposedly friend's house for a gift, a dessert, anything. That's target practice.
Fruit cakes are the worst.
Fruit cake. But it's some people out there that like fruit cake.
Now, as I was scrolling through, some people say they were like, we've never eaten pumpkin pie. Never. Then someone else said, nope, never had it, never will.
Listen.
It's horrible. Somebody said candy corn is nasty.
Hey, listen. When you haven't seen sweet potato pie in at least a year, anything in that hue is going to compel, going to draw you to it.
But you know, pumpkin pie is lighter than sweet potato pie.
Hey, trust me, D. I know this now. Back when I was growing up in Houston, everybody had sweet potato pie. I never even seen a pumpkin pie.
Right.
So my mind just automatically switched to, oh, it's kind of orangey. So it's got to be sweet potato pie.
Correct.
What the fuck is pumpkin pie? Why would you do something? Why would you eat a pumpkin? You ever had a pumpkin seed? I would eat 10 bags of sunflower seeds before I ate 1 ounce of pumpkin seeds.
So you never had the pumpkin seeds with the salt and all the rest of that?
None of that.
Oh, okay.
None of that.
I think I tried that once.
But see, listen, we're back. Hey, let me get you good right here. Listen, okay. This is how we go back to the HBCUs and the TWIs. Sweet potato pie. Pumpkin pie. Do not get them confused in any way, shape, or form.
Country apple, pumpkin spice.
Oh, my God. But listen, D. The craziest shit I ever seen in my life happened on the HBCU campus.
Okay, what was that?
Listen, let me clear my throat for this one. We ain't got no theme music. We ain't got no, let me clear my throat.
I have to go over there and
listen.
I would have to go, the cameraman and co-host would have to go DJ now.
Hey, I think this is going to develop into its, this is going to develop into its own podcast. Wait a minute, I got to get some music for this. Hold on. I need something to get me right there. Okay, that'll take me there. Now check this out.
Now make sure that you tune in. I'm going to post the link on my page.
I'm going to post the link on his.
Like I said, the new podcast, which is the Weekly Rip with
Cuts and Trip.
And Trip.
Now check this out. Okay, this is one of the craziest things I've ever seen on the HBCU campus. Y'all really need to tune in, and this is a lesson for the young ladies. Okay, my freshman year,
okay,
I stayed in Alexander Hall, and in Holly Hall, another group of freshmen stayed. Alexander Hall had ledges on the window, which means that you could have put a little barbecue pit or smoker or something out there and cook. You could even sit out there on the ledge and just relax. It was like 2 feet wide.
Okay.
At a certain point in time, the RAs would come around and do room checks to make sure no one was in the room. Because if someone was caught in your room, you would get written up and you might be on the verge of being kicked out of school
right.
for a number of violations. Well, this is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Holly Hall has about 6 or 8 floors, if I remember correctly, if it's still there. I think it had about 6 or 8 floors.
Okay.
So I'm sitting out on my ledge at Alexander, and I have 3 friends in the room with me. And I'm saying to myself, what the hell is that? I see this girl stick her head out the window. And Holly Hall at the time is an all men's dorm.
Okay.
And this is on the 8th floor. So I said, hey, fellas, hey, check this shit out. What is old girl doing? So I see this girl climb out the window on the 8th floor. She's now hanging outside of the window. Down. She's 8 floors up. Her legs are out the window completely. She's holding on to the window ledge. She doesn't have a 2-foot embankment like we do at Alexander. She's holding on to the windowsill. And all of a sudden you see the window go down and you see the blinds go down. And I said, what the hell is that? So what happened was, I'm not going to jump the story. We're sitting there and now everybody's looking out the window. Now there's a crowd. Hey, I need some more music. Now there's a crowd starting to form outside the dorm and they're looking up at this young lady. All of a sudden, she falls her ass 8 stories to the ground. Boom. We all over there like, oh, snap. What the? Yo, what? Hey, yo, let's go over there and see what's going on. We get over there. Police are coming. RAs are all outside. Everybody's gathering around. This chick has broken not just her ankles. She's broken her legs. She's broken her ankles. She's broken the arm. And she's broken her back in 2 places.
Oh, wow.
And I'm saying to myself, oh, this shit gonna be good. I gotta find out why the hell this girl is hanging out off the damn windowsill.
Uh-huh.
So later on, the truth starts coming out. You know, when everybody separates, the truth starts to trickle down, right? So come to find out, this chick was over in the guy's dorm room.
Okay.
They did a surprise inspection. No girls were supposed to be in the dorm rooms at that time. So this dude convinces the young lady to hide by hanging out the window. And as soon as the RA left, he was going to pull her up back in. Now, at my dorm, which had the ledge, the 2-foot ledge,
right,
that's possible. At that point, there were no ledges on Holly Hall.
But with the just window.
Just the window.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, did he think she had some superior upper body strength or some shit? So he tells everybody.
He thought she was Spider Girl.
Spider Negress something. So I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. If I'm her dad, what do you tell me? Why the fuck are you hanging out of a window on the 8th floor of the boys' dorm? Explain that to me.
In college.
In college. So I'm saying to myself, the dude is just getting, he just got written up, right?
Uh-huh.
He got written up. That's it. She got a broken back, broken legs, broken ankles, a broken arm. And she might have just been broken off before all of that occurred, right? Can you imagine if your daughter, if someone calls you and tells you that there's been an incident with your daughter on the college campus that you're paying for and she's hurt, she's fallen out of a window, and they can't explain to you anything more than that?
I can't even imagine that.
Now, I can't completely go in on old girl like I want to, because my dumb ass, I was in the girls' dorm on PV campus one time, and a dorm RA decided to do a room check. But it was only like 2 stories. I was on the 2nd floor. They had a ledge like Alexander. So she says, My RA's coming. I said, oh, don't worry about it, I'm gonna sit out on the ledge. Well, the RA was checking the room so thorough, it wasn't 5 minutes. It wasn't 10 minutes. It ended up being like 35, 40 minutes that they're in there talking. Mm-hmm. So I decided to say, that's only 2 stories. I used to jump off of 2-story houses when I was in elementary, but I'm not in elementary. Mm-hmm. So next thing I know, I decide to use this drop and roll technique. I'm going to hang off the ledge, and I'm going to drop down, and I'm going to roll so I can break my fall. This is what I didn't anticipate. I didn't anticipate at 2 o'clock in the morning that up on the hill, the temperature drops to about 45, 50 degrees and the ground wasn't soft. It was frozen.
So you jumped on concrete.
Man, I almost damn near broke both of my damn legs.
So you would have been
all
a
trying
money.
To get some cut before I was cut. And I said, I'm laying on the ground and I'm thinking to myself, I'm in so much pain and agony. No one's even stopping to help me up and ask me if I'm okay.
Of course not. One your person dumb ass shouldn't have been out
exactly.
there in the first place.
But you couldn't have got me crazy enough to jump to hang out of an 8-story floor window.
Nah.
Now
that's desperation.
That's supreme desperation.
She was trying to get away.
She was trying to get something. But that's one of the craziest things I ever seen on campus.
My mom said.
Your mom?
Yeah, my mom is here.
Oh wow!
So she said,
"Hey, does your mom remember me?"
My mom said she didn't raise any damn fools, so she knows good and damn well.
See,
I'm gonna say it the way she would say it. Now I know good and damn well that Derek would never do nothing like that. And then she would also say that about my sisters because my mom is not, my mom is a G.
Hey, your mom
is a G.
My mom is a super G.
So I don't know if you guys have listened before or not. Mom, I don't know if you remember Chris, but
I probably was like 100 pounds lighter. I was real skinny then. I had a lot of muscles, didn't wear a shirt. Yeah.
So Chris is a former teammate of mine. When we played football together up in Iowa together. And we were on the same, he was a linebacker, I was a running back. And he came home with me for a spring break. But one thing that he got an opportunity to meet my mom. Now, for those of you all that know, my mom is legendary.
For them hands?
My mom is just legendary, period. Everybody knows my mom. My mom is real slick with the tongue.
Oh, and she vicious then.
Oh, yeah, she'll give you the business. So, like, I have some ignorant-ass friends, shout out to Grumpy, that will just do stuff to make my mom cuss. Because they know my mom will cuss on a dime. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever seen that before.
Wait a minute. Is your mom the same person that she used to be? Is she that person now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, she'll still let you have it?
You could call her right now and
I'm not getting cussed out.
No, you could call her. But anyway.
No.
So, mom, as you can see this, but this is cuz. This is my...
Hey, I don't know if you remember me. Your brother, was it her brother that gave us a job? Working construction.
That was her friend that gave us construction.
Hey, listen. This is the turning point in my life. I went to D Tripp's house for spring break. And then it seemed like it was longer than spring break. But during that period of time, the mom said, you guys want to make some money while you're here. Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying to myself, yeah, we can have some money going back to the Midwest. So he gave us a job working construction.
Downtown
I really
Nashville.
Learned.
Where the,
hey, we built the McDonald's. Was that the McDonald's or the Wendy's?
It was the Wendy's on 2nd Avenue.
Built that. So he gives us this job working construction. I never worked construction in my life. Never will ever again in my life. I'm busting people in the head and robbing if I have to work construction ever again, D. That job broke me.
That's the hardest
I've never
thing I've
been
ever
that
done
dirty
in my life.
Ever in my life. Never had arthritis before.
That's the hardest thing we ever done.
Listen, he said, I got an easy job for you, big man. I said, what's the job? He said, you're going to take these 25-pound cement bags in this truck, and you're going to move them over there. You're going to move them from this location, which is about 25 feet. You're going to take two at a time, and you're going to move them over there. Well, being a young buck, being strong and strapping and thorough, I said, you're going to give me this job. This is going to be easy. This is going to be quick. This is that light work. After about 5 trips with 50 pounds on my shoulders, my body started to break down. And I said, oh, whoa, wait a minute. This shit is heavy. This is like some real, real manual labor work. I said, hey, can you give me another job? He just laughed at me. He said, yeah, I'm going to put you on the jackhammer.
Oh, God.
What did he have you doing?
I was doing the jackhammer.
Listen, he gave me the little jackhammer. And I said, man, why you going to give me this little girly jackhammer? Give me the big one over there.
Right.
And he's holding the big one. He's got a cup of coffee in one hand. He's got the jackhammer in the other hand. Mm-hmm. And it's leaning against his belly.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just powering through concrete.
Right.
I get the little jackhammer. That little jackhammer fucked my world up.
Oh, yeah, that thing. I don't know for those of you all, if you've never done construction before, but the jackhammer, once you feel that in your hands, it's a vibrating that will not go away. It's almost
ever.
It's almost like the best way I can say to kind of let people feel how just kind of give them an idea how that feels. You remember when you used to go roller skating And after you roller skate, you feel like your feet, you still got the rollers under your feet. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
That's what it kind of feels like. But of course, it's so much, it's just that feeling of something still there that it's not there anymore. That's what it felt like in the jackhammer. But your hands are literally crippled because the damn thing jerks.
The vibration.
The
vibration
so
will
hard.
Eat you up. Listen, I got to pivot.
Okay.
Because this is the weekly rip. Someone sent in a statement.
Okay.
And it's more of a statement type question. And the statement was, just because a man and a woman kick it, it doesn't mean that they're fucking. Somebody please back me up on this.
So you're saying that they're just friends?
They're just friends.
Okay.
So can a man and a woman be strictly platonic in a friend relationship? Is that possible?
Absolutely.
Really? Mm-hmm. With no intentions of, okay, wait a minute. Let's upgrade that.
But see, I'm different.
Okay. Not you being in a relationship.
But no. I'll tell you.
You're physically attracted to this person. They're very attractive.
Yeah. Well, most of my friends, like female friends, are very attractive.
Okay.
But the thing about that is this. If once you become my friend, or if we see each other,
okay,
we're friends. You know, once we make that clear that, hey, you're my friend, then you get put in the friend zone. I know
okay.
Women normally
okay.
put dudes in
okay.
the friend zone.
I gotta give you one for that.
But it's like, even though you put women into the friend zone, it's they become, you know, I don't even look
untouchable?
At them. Yeah, I don't look at them.
In every situation?
Well, for the most part, yeah. Because a lot of times,
what was the movie?
A lot of times that we watched. Well, a lot of times it'll be their friend. I mean, let's just say I'm friends with I don't know. Her name is this Mike right here.
Okay.
So I might be friends with her. She's the friend. Now her friends.
Oh, open season.
Oh, it's open season.
Wait a minute. I got to ask a question though.
Mm-hmm.
Is this speaking from Mature Trip?
No, this
immature trip or period.
Trip. No, this is even young trip, because I just feel like number one, with women being your friend, you gain so much because women will look out for you.
I agree.
I had I remember one of my homegirls to this day.
Okay,
Tamara. I used to kind of like me and her friend was friends. Put it this way, me and Tamara's friend was friends, and Tamara was like, mm-mm. Hey, she was like, this was, she pulled me to the side, was like, just look, mm-mm. And this is her friend. She was like, mm-mm. So when she said that, I was like, oh. And she was right. And you know, I've never been a fool. Like, if somebody tells me some information.
Oh, because they got personal information on that.
And I'm out.
Okay.
I'm taking it and I'm out.
Okay.
So
I can respect that.
So when she gave that information to me, I took it and ran with it. And you know, and then after that, me and the relationship, it really wasn't even a relationship, but, you know, it was kind of like okay, I see things for how they are. And then, you know, I was like, ooh, thank you. I had to give Tamara a high five at a later time saying, thank you for helping me dodge that.
Oh, you dodged that bullet. Okay.
You know, just.
I can dig that.
And that was just a friend of mine.
Okay.
But see, you know, like, because, like, there's some friends, you know, like one of my, you know, I mean, I got a couple of homegirls that I'm like really, really tight with. Like, when I got married, I was like, hey, you have to meet, just give an example,
right.
My homegirl Melanie or my homegirl Denise. They're like sisters to me. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like they know some of my darkest secrets, shall I say.
Okay.
And you know,
is that to say that the wife isn't privy to those darker secrets?
Well, no. Well, I knew them beforehand.
Okay.
So,
okay. So they probably were
PK'd.
There first. Okay.
You know, PK mean pre-Kim.
Okay.
So,
gotcha.
So, but, you know, like those are my friends. I remember when Melanie had a fiance that she, you know, she had introduced me to, like, oh, on the phone. I didn't get a chance to meet him in person. And, you know, like he had passed away. And, like, I remember, you know, she was going through it, which he passed right in front of her. He had a heart attack on the plane.
Wow.
And, so, you know, that's a traumatic, that's something that can give you PTSD. But you know, like, and that's my homegirl. So it didn't matter. She called me at 3 a.m.
Right.
And just wanted to talk. Or she just wanted to cry. Like, hey, man, go ahead. I mean,
I think
because that's just the relationship that we built. Now, she's married to a gentleman by the name of Terry, who's a great dude, one of my homies. Like, me and him actually talk now more than me and her did.
Wow. You know? Gotcha.
But, you know, like, it's one of those things that's my sister. It ain't even my, okay. I don't even look at her like that.
I can dig that. Okay. That changed the dynamic of that. I can dig that. Yeah. Okay. So somebody else sent something in.
Okay.
And it says, a lot of women have wife written all over them, but they keep entertaining men who can't read. Go in. I want to know the thoughts on that. Entertaining men who can't read.
Well, see, that's the thing is when a man wants to get married,
okay,
he's going to get married.
I agree.
When that woman, it's something about that particular woman, and it stands out, and he's going to react to that particular woman, and that's his situation. Period. There's something about it, because like if you ask most men, look, why did you marry her? I don't know. It's just something about her, or I heard a voice that said, "Hey, this is the one." And that's normally how it goes down.
I agree.
Normally, not for everybody, because I know there's several people that's just, you know, like, I hate to say it, but like in the military, they get married for more money. Because if you get married,
right,
you might, you know, you that, might be an E6 or something like that. But now you get paid like an E8 or something like that because you've got married. Or, I mean, I don't know. Okay. Even though my whole family was military, I don't know all of the classifications. But, yeah, those things right there, you get a little bit more money. She gets more money. You get more money.
I got you.
And then when you go to the field, she's in the field.
That's crazy.
Or she goes to the field, and he's in the field. If that,
I got you,
makes sense.
I got you. You know, I've seen so many situations where I've had some homegirls that got with guys, and they had this intention on changing them. I'm going to mold this man into what I want and need him to be. And it never, ever works out like that. I'm a firm believer that if a man wants to change because of that woman, he's going to change. Without hesitation, without a doubt. I think I'm a living example of that, because I was kind of wild and I was out there. I was crazy. And then I met someone and I'm like, whoa, I can't come with that shit to this person. I could already see it on her face. That shit is not happening. That game, it can't even be a game.
But also, when you met her, it was something different about her.
Indeed.
Than everybody else.
Yes.
And since you knew it was something different about her than everyone else, that's why you put your focus and your time and your efforts into her to make sure that, okay, I'm sorry, but I'm not letting you get past me.
Exactly.
I can't let you go past
me. Okay, just as some pre-information, I don't think I would be married to the woman that I'm married to right now if it wasn't for Trip. So we decided to take a trip to the big city.
Iowa City.
Mm-hmm. We go to a party at a church. At a church.
The old.
So
brick.
When people ask me, where did you meet your wife? I said, at church. And they say, that's good. That's awesome. That's great. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Okay. Right. This was not a church in the sense of this needs to be a church. Right. This was what we called the old brick. Where the college promoters would rent out this big facility that was owned by the church. And it was really a church.
For those that went up to IWC or University of Iowa and they listened to this, they'd be like, yo, I know.
Yo, yeah, 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 exactly. That. I remember that. So it was like, you know what they say, like a moth to a flame.
You just made me think about something.
What?
And then carry that through. Big Dave. Shout out to Big Dave. What's up, big man?
D. Ballantyne. Okay.
My man Big Dave was up in there in the old brick drinking a beer.
Come on, man. You in the church.
Man,
he drinking holy water. Hey, Let's just say.
I remember he turned around and the good Lord was standing up there. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Hey, but the Lord know my heart.
Please forgive me. Yo, that was so funny.
Yo, that was that's hilarious. Crazy.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I see this goddess through all of this. I'm not even going to say subterfuge.
Was that the first time you saw her?
Very first time.
Or did you see her before?
No. Very first time.
Because I think I saw her before.
You did. You told me that you saw her before. Yo, I seen her before.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I said, who? And I looked over and I'm like, oh, shit. Out of everybody that was there.
Right.
This chick that looked like Flo-Jo, in every sense of the word, mm-hmm. had calves that was the size of my head. And you say, how the hell she have calves that was the size of your head? And I got a big ass head.
Right.
But the calf muscles was popping.
Because she ran, she ran track.
Okay.
On a collegiate level for the university.
Big Ten champion.
Yes.
Went to Olympic trials and all of that stuff, right? So I see this chick, hair flowing, looking like Pocahontas. And I think I'm in there. Wait, this is the first time, so I don't think I even wore a shirt. I think I had on a vest.
You probably had a vest
on. I had a vest on, and no shirt.
And a hat.
And a hat, looking like G-Money, like a mug, right? Dude, so Tripp say, hey, yo, I know her. And I said, where? And then he said, yeah. He said, what, you want to holler at her? I said, yeah, yeah, let me get my shit together. And I said, you know, I'm always bragging because I'm from Texas. Everything is bigger and better in Texas. So I roll like that. That's just what it was.
Right.
So he said, wait a minute. You nervous? And I said, hell no, just give me a second, man. Let me get my shit together. So he said, wait a minute. Hey, yo, if you don't go holler at her, I'm going to go holler at her and tell her that my boy is scared to come holler at her. Holler at you.
That sounds like something I would
And do. I said, yo, yo, hold up. I got my shit together. I knew I couldn't just go over there with no Mac shit. I had to go over there and be real proper.
Right.
So I go over there and introduce myself.
Uh-huh.
We start talking. Small conversation, chit-chat, idle chit-chat and shit. And the next thing I know, I tell her, I said, I'm going to marry you. And she said, boy, you don't even know me. I said, but I will. And she didn't believe me. And 21 years later, her name is still Mrs. White.
And see, and going back to your initial question. So
exactly.
When you saw her, well, physically, of course, she amused you physically.
Yes.
But, and then you got a chance to meet her mentally.
Yes. And then, the mental connected on a visceral level. I mean, it was.
And therefore, because I remember you called me and was like, yo, you ain't going to believe this. I'm like, what? You remember the chick that looked like Flo Jo? Like, yeah. Man, that's my girlfriend now. I was like, stop lying, man. Come on, I don't want to hear that.
Yo, hey, trust me, it was real. And I told her this the other day. I said, you know what? No, I was telling this to my daughter. And my daughter looks just like my wife. She's beautiful. And I said, you know what? Your mom is one of the first and only woman that I have ever courted. And it's a difference. And it's like, I'm going to woo you.
Oh, yeah, because you had to win.
Oh, listen, I had to win in a major way. I bragged about her so much to my mom. My mom, I sent a picture of her to my mom, and my mom said, you know what? You better not fuck this up, Chris White. Because she could come to Houston, and you could stay in Iowa. And I said, what?
Your mom said that?
My mom said that. And she had never met her. She just seen her.
Got you.
She knows my type, but this was beyond my type.
Uh-huh.
This was on a whole different level. And so I courted this young lady for like 3-4 months. Never tried to push up on her. I was really getting to know her. I wanted to be her friend. So when we would have walks, we would do the movies, we would go out, we would hang out. You know what the biggest deal was?
What's that?
This is when I knew that the tide had turned. She would lay in my lap and let me comb her hair. And she's got like 3 feet of hair.
Uh-huh.
She would lay in my lap and I would comb her hair. And that was a big ass deal to me. Does that sound crazy?
I mean, if that's what you into, if you're in the hair combing,
Who
are we to judge?
Hey, I wasn't H-Town trying to knock boots. I really wanted to. You know what? And this is what I realized. When you're really trying to meet someone, the best thing that you can do is not have sex with that person.
Absolutely.
Do not have sex with that person, because whatever is built up will go in that 10 seconds.
Well, one thing about having sex before you get married, which is a whole nother podcast within itself.
Yes.
But one thing about having sex before you're married is not even with that person. I would say this. I'm going to go biblical here.
Okay.
I think that if you can go through, let's just say she's a virgin, you're a virgin, and then you guys get married, and then therefore you explore things together. You don't know what you've missed out on. she's the greatest and the worst of everything that you've ever had.
Right.
And vice versa. You're the greatest and the worst of everything that she's ever had. But if you've already crossed paths, which, you know, a lot of most people have, if you've crossed the several few paths, then therefore now you're comparing. So she's comparing you to
previous,
let's just say,
dalliances.
If she messed with Daryl or Lamont, if she was dating Lamont beforehand,
okay,
and Lamont would, you know, let's just say Lamont would, I don't know, lick her toes or something like that.
She's wondering why you're not licking her toes.
There you go. Or okay. Or even if you do lick toes, you'd be like, well, you know, Lamont used to stick his toe. He used to suck on my big toe a little longer, but you know, Chris don't really like my big toe. I'm just saying. There's a comparison.
Okay.
And since there's a comparison, I think that it throws out a, it throws a vibe out, which kind of, it to me, it kind of clouds a few things.
I think it does. And that's a good question for the audience. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone long term that you've slept with after a day, few days, a week? How long have those relationships lasted? That's a question.
That's a good question. But then again, but
sometimes I mean, somebody knows what they want. Then right. It doesn't matter if it's the first day or
it doesn't matter if it's the first day or if it's a week away or if it's a year or something like that, because you can still have a beautiful relationship,
right,
even after, you know, something happening the first day or the first night or the first weekend or whatever.
Right.
Like I said, I'm not here to judge. Whatever you do or did, that's on you. Or whatever you're about to do, that's still on you. I'm not going to judge anyone on what they do.
That's crazy. Okay, check this out. Someone sent in a question.
Okay.
Well, it was more of a statement. And the statement was, enjoy your 20s and 30s, because when you hit 40, that check engine light comes on.
Absolutely.
Break that down. Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, somebody posted this the other day. I fell out laughing. He's talking about, yo, when I was younger, my mom used to make me, this is what he said. He's like, my mom used to make me, I used to have to pee and I had to hold it until we got home or until we got somewhere else. That might be all the way on the other side of town. Now at the age of 40, it's like, I can't even hold it before I go downstairs.
Are you even trying to, wait. Like, before you get downstairs,
I'm like, damn,
I almost didn't make it this time.
Like, woo.
Oh my God, come on, D, you're killing me now.
Hey man, you can't make it across. Okay, put it this way,
I'm not trying to.
When you was younger,
you could think about cartoons.
I'm gonna use Houston for an example.
Okay,
you could have had the pee in Pearland.
Oh, while driving back to the northwest side,
you can make it back to the northwest side.
No.
To Acres Homes with no problem.
No, it ain't happening.
When you was younger.
Yeah.
Now, you can't make it from Pearland to the Beltway without having to pee.
No, you are so right. I would definitely encourage, especially my brothers, if you're past the age of 40, definitely don't listen to what some of these people tell you. Go get your prostate checked.
Absolutely.
Go get it checked, because it is important. And ladies, if you're in a relationship with someone or you're married to someone and they're 40 and up, be a good spouse or girlfriend and encourage them to go get a checkup.
Correct.
Because there's a lot of things out here that, you know, just being men, we're stubborn about. Mm-hmm. We're stubborn about changing the way we eat. You know what I found out the other day?
What's that?
And this was off a TikTok post. This is from a lady that fed her husband. She would make him breakfast, bacon and eggs. Mm-hmm. Then lunch, she would fix him like wings and fries.
Okay.
And sometimes that night for dinner, she would make him steak and potatoes and everything. Mm-hmm. Do you know that much meat consumption can cause impotence?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never really heard that before.
And I started thinking about it, and my wife explained it to me. And she said, yeah, you're not supposed to have all of that type of meat in your diet. And I said, really? So what it does, it decreases your erection time because
really?
Of the blood flow.
Wow.
Your arteries are clogged.
I can believe that.
And I'm like, yo, what the? Are you serious?
I can believe that.
You know how you eat, and sometimes you're eating. We love eating comfort food.
Yeah.
Barbecue and whatever. And then you just feel like, ugh, you feel tired.
Yep.
You got that itis.
Yep.
Really, that means your heart is slowing down.
Wow.
Your arteries are clogged. And your heart is slowing down.
That's like what?
That's what makes you sleepy and tired. And that's what gives you the fucking itis.
I feel that on Thanksgiving every year.
Yes. But it's white meat. It's TWI.
Pumpkin pie.
Oh, man. There's so many references to that. That's crazy.
See, I think that, well, what, one thing when you was talking about going to the doctor, one thing is black men, we have to be willing and cognizant enough to
True.
Say, hey, I need to go to the doctor to
Yes.
get my blood test.
Yes.
To get my blood pressure checked to see if we can get that in check.
Yes.
And just to go to the doctor, period. Go to the dentist.
Yes.
You know, get all, because, you know, they say that, you know, like
the nerves are attached to.
Right. A bad tooth can give you high blood pressure.
Listen.
Or it can give you.
It can give you a heart attack.
It can give you a heart attack. All kinds of stuff can happen from your mouth.
I didn't realize that how many nerves were connected to your teeth.
Yes.
That, oh my God.
And you have to, you got to take care of that. And like I said, I mean, who doesn't want to, nobody wants anybody with a yuck mouth smile.
True.
Period. Now, so one thing that we strongly encourage, you know, especially black men, you got to make sure that you go to the doctor.
Everywhere.
You can't throw dirt on everything.
You can't. You remember when we were young? You would come from playing ball or something, and you're supposed to meet somebody, and instead of going home and taking a shower, you just spray cologne on. You hold yourself down with cologne, trying to smell away the funk.
How the hell did you get to that? I just want to know.
Listen. I had a crazy childhood, man.
How did you get from from the doctor?
Because we neglect a lot of things.
To funky cologne.
Understand this. Sometimes we skip over things and we try to mask and cover up things.
Because I remember a stinky person used to work out and smell that person's perfume. I mean, lotion. And to this day, I still smell it. But I'm not going to go there.
You're not going
to
tell the story?
No.
The crazy part is I know the story.
Yeah, don't. Nah.
Do not work out and wear peaches and cream lotion and think that the lotion is going to overpower the sweat and funk that you just accumulated, ladies.
Okay, how about this? I'm not going to tell the story, but I'll just say this. In the words of the great Red Fox, wash your ass.
Definitely.
Just wash your ass.
See? But she was trying to cover up something.
I'm not going to say. Nope. You're telling too much. I'm just going to say.
Okay.
Wash your ass.
Okay.
That goes for women.
I got
and
you.
And dudes. If you went and played a game of 36 and now you're trying to visit with your lady.
I don't even know what 36 is.
It's basketball.
Okay. Okay.
Or you know, a rough house or 21, whatever. Or if you've worked out, you've been to the gym, go take a bath.
Okay.
Wash your ass because nobody wants this.
Nobody wants to be. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Nobody wants to smell like, you know, like,
yeah.
like feet and ass. That's
at just, all.
No.
At all. Tell them.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nope.
Ain't nobody got time.
No,
for that.
No.
Hey.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
At all.
Okay. Now check this out, D.
Uh huh.
I have a question.
Yes.
And this is not only to you, because I know the situation, but this is to all strong black fathers with daughters. What age is acceptable for your daughter to tell you she has a boyfriend?
When she's 30.
Damn. First boyfriend, 30?
Now, mind you, my daughter's 6, so I'm going to be slanted in a different way. But I would say, wow, I'd probably be more accepting if she was in college.
Really?
Yeah.
College?
Yeah, because, I mean, don't get me wrong. I know, like, things can happen before then. But when she's in high school, I hope that she's just focused on her high school endeavors, meaning whatever that may be, like if it's you know, like first her academics, and then after that if she's doing some kind of extracurricular activities as far as sports, or if she's in any kind of clubs or something like that at the school.
Okay.
I'd rather her t- to do that. Now, will it last that long? Probably not, because Khaleesi is beautiful and she has a beautiful personality. So I know that, you know, she'll probably be 13 and talking about little boys be trying to.
This little boy likes me. He gave me a card.
And see the difference. See here.
I have a 14-year-old, so trust me, it's coming.
Oh, yeah. You just don't know it yet. But see, there's the difference. You see, when we were 14, we had to call the house.
Yes.
And when you called the house,
somebody other than you answered the phone.
Mama answered.
Who is that?
Brother answered.
Who is that?
Grandfather. Whoever was in the household, right. That was an authoritative figure. Now, don't get me wrong.
All up in your business.
Sometimes she would answer. But you had to answer, and you had to answer correctly.
Yeah, and the phone usually was in the kitchen with the long cord.
Oh yeah,
could stretch to your room.
What? that cord that go all the way across the room, and yes. So you would choke trying to walk by because you didn't see it. Yeah,
yeah.
To see when you have stuff like that, what happens is you had to call and be respectful.
Yes.
So if I call, and let's just say Kamora,
yes.
Your daughter. So if I call, I'm like, I couldn't just say. Hey, what up, though?
Exactly.
Hey, because
somebody will be like, who the fuck is this?
Exactly. Because you would answer the phone. So you couldn't answer like that.
Right.
So you had to be respectful. So it forced us to be like, hello, Mr. White. May I speak with Kamora, please? And may I ask who's calling? Sure, this is Derek. How you doing, Derek? I'm doing pretty well, sir.
Right.
Okay, hold on. Let me get the phone.
Right.
And then you would probably let him like, okay, he's pretty respectful. But if I just call like, hey, come over there.
Oh, this is about to be good.
Exactly, because it's
like the scene from Mike Lowry.
Yeah.
And James.
Yeah.
Marcus.
Yeah.
Who the hell is Reggie?
Yeah. Who the fuck is Reggie?
Yeah. How old is you? 15. You look 35.
Right.
Exactly.
But see, here's the thing, though. You had to show respect.
Exactly.
See, like now. Does your daughter have her own cell phone?
Unfortunately,
okay,
she does.
So she doesn't even have to go through that.
Secrecy can be at all time. I need to know the password to the phone, but doesn't mean that I know what's on the phone.
Exactly. And here's the thing, though. Like, somebody can call at any time, or she can have, and when they call, you don't know how they're coming.
Right.
You know, like, now you still may have this. If somebody come at the house, you know, we had that old golden rule is if you went to someone's house, you couldn't just walk in, you know, talking about.
Yeah.
Is Kamora here? Nah, bro.
It wasn't even happening.
Like,
you got to come correct.
You know, hey, how you doing? Is Kamora here?
Yeah.
You know, like, and then you had to, or.
If you had brothers, you might get your ass beat up.
Yeah.
You remember the scene from the wood?
Yep.
Stacy?
Or somebody, remember this one. If somebody blows the horn from the car.
Oh, bruh, that is the way to get your car fucked up.
Eat, eat.
That's the way to get you drug up out your car.
Hey, come on, let's go.
Come on, we ain't got all day. Oh, really?
But see, that's the thing, though. We don't have those same parameters around. Mm. Now, maybe the home front, but as far as her calling and the dude being respectful, there's nothing there.
Right. Because you don't have what that gatekeeper, but because of the technology.
Because of the technology.
I'm living through that right now.
Yeah.
I have a 14-year-old. My daughter is gorgeous.
Yep.
And the way my 40-plus-year-old mind works, I still go back to 15, 16, 17. I go back to college immediately.
And
I'm like, somebody go get fucked up.
And we had to be tricky back then.
Very.
Because now.
Creative.
Like, just giving an example with the phone.
Right.
You can go live on Facebook
right
now, which we were earlier.
Right.
And you can see people and they can see you.
Yes.
Instantly.
Yes. I agree.
A Zoom call. I can forget just calling you.
Yeah.
Because I remember you'd be on the phone. Hey, you hang up.
Put them on a duo.
Hey, you hang up.
Yeah. No, you hang up. And you both fall asleep on the phone.
And both of y'all fall asleep. Both of y'all. You wake up. All you is.
Fall asleep?
Or somebody, mama, get off the goddamn phone.
Exactly.
You know you're supposed to be in the bed.
Your daddy's supposed to be calling. You're getting off of work at 3 o'clock.
Hey, look, ooh, my bad. Right.
Exactly.
Because, or somebody had to call they had to call the operator because you was on the line and you didn't have
two-way. Oh, my God.
Y'all didn't have two-way.
You didn't have two-way, and the emergency operator came through.
Yep.
That means whoever was calling is now pissed on level 10.
Yep.
Oh, that means they've been trying to call in for a while.
You have an emergency call from
Oh, I had that. I had one of those calls from Karen White.
Oh man.
Oh, that shit would make your heart stop.
Man, what?
Oh, listen, bro. Oh man.
And my mom used to pick up the phone from the other room. So if I was on the phone,
not even trying to hide it.
Hell no. Like my mom, if I was on the phone, we gotta call. Like I said, we gonna have to add our moms on the phone.
Yeah, that's gonna be crazy.
So yeah, if I was on the phone in here and I'm chilling, you know, I'm trying to talk to these young, like, hey, how you doing? Oh yeah, yeah, not yeah, I'm good. Just sitting here chilling, whatever. And all of a sudden, get off the goddamn phone.
Oh, indeed.
Hey, I don't even, then my mom would go even, see, my mom was so embarrassing. She would even do stuff like, get off the damn phone. And then she would say, girl, I don't even know why you want him. He don't even clean his room. Oh. You ought to see this damn room over here.
Oh,
and
bruh.
Then you just be like, hey. And then all you can say is this. Hey, I'm gonna call you.
Yeah, I'm gonna call you tomorrow. Hey, look, dog, we've been at it for 1 hour and 30 minutes now.
Yep.
And I think they've generally gotten the idea of the weekly rip.
Yes.
We're gonna bring up topics that you might like, some that you might hate.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about things that you definitely might hate, but enjoy.
Exactly.
And need to be discussed. So what we're gonna do is wrap this up and we're gonna get ready for the next episode next week.
So thank you guys for tuning in to the Daily Rip.
We got
to
do this right. So there you go. I'm going to give you your lead in music.
All right.
And we're going to sum this up in 15 seconds.
There.
Oh,
there
we ain't got, this ain't the intro. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, hey, thank you guys for joining us for the Daily Rip.
No, it's not the Daily Rip.
Oh, shit. All right.
The weekly. Hold on.
Hit me one more time then.
Okay.
You can edit this out.
Okay, we're going to start from the beginning.
You can edit that out. Okay.
We're getting ready to close the show out. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. I'm your man, Cuts. I got my boy, D-Trip, over here. And he's going to take us out with the outro.
Thank you guys again for joining us for the Weekly Rip.
Yeah.
That is DJ Cuts.
And that is D-Trip.
And we appreciate you guys for joining us. Please like, share, hit us up on social media.
Tell your friends and your mama about us.
Yeah, and it's gonna be good. If you have any topics that you'd like for us to cover, or if you don't agree with something that we said, please let us know. We'd like to talk to you about it.
Definitely would like to talk to you about it. But for right now, we gotta go.
Peace until next time.
Peace.